Uma pessoa está pedindo alguns dados
a person here is requesting some information on working with colors to bring about a balance in individuals. Yes, when colors are applied, they cause an effect, and this is well known.
O maior equilíbrio que nós podemos receber.
Now the greatest help we can receive to bring about balance comes from the treatment of our own aura.
A nossa vitalidade,
our own aura,
astral e mental,
which is our etheric, astral and mental vitality,
vibrações espirituais,
that can also absorb spiritual vibrations. And this produces a radiating.
Desta irradiação que a gente trabalha.
And we work with the colors of this radiance. That is, instead of our projecting the colors artificially on someone,
nós vamos tratar a pessoa de forma que ela
we treat people so that they can change their colors,
sejam mais saudáveis,
so that their colors become healthier and become more vitalized. Now, if we project colors on people, as we normally do, if we place people under colored lights, all this can produce a certain effect. But it does not really change the person. It does not change the color that the person radiates. It can fill in a gap. It can temporarily resolve some problem. But the person's radiation does not change. So we work on a person's aura. We help the person to change his or her radiation. Because it is in the aura, in this etheric, astral and mental radiation of ours, it is in this aura that we find all the elements for our health. So we cannot change the colors of our aura, which influences and heals, with our will alone. We have to receive a higher influence. We have to receive a higher radiation from a level that is different to that of our being. You have read in the New Testament that when Peter walked by, his shadow healed people. Shadow in that context does not mean material shadow. It means Peter's aura. When Peter walked by, his aura that contained certain colors would heal people. So, to have a developed aura is very important. It is very important to have emanations which are around us, which reach others, which change the environment. It is good for these to be healthy and colored. And as we have said, it is not with imposition or with projecting artificial colors on our aura, on our body, that we are going to attain this in a permanent way, but it is with our communication, with our interchange, with more subtle energies, and with more subtle levels of consciousness. The developed auras, the auras that heal, the healing auras, the auras that render service, are generally the auras that contain the color green. When we emanate green, and this then is the color of our aura, this color green influences people in a beneficial way. And this color green, of course, we are not going to paint our aura green. But the color green of the aura, which is extremely healing, comes when, with great joy and positive feeling, we are able to control the situations in which we offer ourselves to serve, the situations in which we sacrifice ourselves, that is, those situations in which we renounce things that are for our good in benefit of others. This then produces green in the aura, and this is one of the strongest auras for the service of healing. And the auras that have a ruby color are also very important for the service of healing. And the color ruby appears in our aura. The aura takes on a ruby color when we are very self-sacrificing on the spiritual path. When we tread the spiritual path with a great deal of self-denial, when we tread this spiritual path with a great deal of unselfishness, with great commitment, when nothing is too difficult for us, that is, when we are self-sacrificing on this path. So these are the very developed auras, the green that controls all the situations in which we run into difficulties, but not a control by force, a simple natural dominion. When we accept things matter-of-factly, when we are not taken aback with any situation that requires effort on our part, and also this self-surrender in spiritual fulfillment in the way we tread the spiritual path, then green and ruby red can blend in our aura or work separately. One part of the aura can be green and the other part can be ruby red. And all this works on its own. You don't have to do anything. Wherever you go, the energy of healing is radiated. The energy of healing is applied. It reaches those who need it. And there is also a kind of aura that can be attained when we adapt ourselves and when we are totally at ease in different conditions of life. That is, when we do not become used to a certain way of life. And as soon as that way of life changes, we become distressed. This influences our aura. So if a way of life suits you and suddenly it changes, you don't have to change because of this. You have to adapt yourself to the new condition. You have to avoid raising impediments to those new conditions. And then you will have a three-colored aura, which is very strong, which is a very positive aura. This aura is green, silver, and yellow. When these colors work together in the aura, they produce in the aura something that is halfway between light and fire, as though it were a flame in three colors. So this is very strong, very beneficial. But if we have certain conditions, and suddenly these conditions change for some reason or other, this should not make us falter in any way. It should not cause us to change in any way. We should simply adapt ourselves to the new conditions, and this will give us the three colors of our aura. These three colors become transformed into fire, and this then brings about deep healing. Well, positive tension, when we are attentive, tense, but in a positive way, not tense because we are nervous or tense because we are worried. When we are tense because we are focused on a situation, when we focalize on a situation, when we observe all the details of that situation and are very concentrated there, then our aura becomes crimson in color.
vai se refinando.
And this crimson becomes refined. And this crimson becomes more and more delicate. And the more delicate it becomes, the deeper are the effects it produces. And this is the result of this state of attention, this state of tension. And you are not to lose that level of vibration. You are not to lose that level of quality in your radiation. And you are also to uphold that state of perceptiveness and not to be lethargic in any circumstance. And always be alert, attentive, always perceiving, never distracted, never oblivious to what is going on or to what is coming up. For you are always to be very perceptive, very attentive, but at the same time, very much attuned to what your thoughts emanate. So you are very attentive to all that is going on, but your thoughts are always positive, your thoughts are always refined, your thoughts are always light, never heavy, never turned to what is concrete, to what is very dense. So you are in touch with everything that is going on, no matter what. You keep your mind light. You keep your thoughts fluid. And this brings a crimson aura, which is one of the most healing auras, one of the most beneficial auras one can have. So we would have to nurture these states of consciousness. We would have to be very attentive to our adaptation, to the way we embrace the different conditions of life, because the conditions of life and the vibrations of the world, the vibrations of the situations, will not influence our colors. They will not introject new colors into our aura, but they will produce those colors, green, silver, yellow, and others, that form this arrangement of balms that are radiated. And we must have control over situations in which we consider that we are sacrificing ourselves, which happens all the time, because the needs of humanity are manifold, and those who serve must continually be sacrificing themselves in some way, in some aspect. If they do not, how can they provide what others need? How can they make up for the needs of the all? We have to control these situations. We have to face these situations normally, naturally, and we have to feel at ease in any situation. For our aura to be this way. When our aura takes on a bluish color, which is the result of a synthesis of all these attitudes, of all our behaviors, when our aura takes on a bluish color, the energy of our soul can work on our aura even more. The energy of our aura can emit certain rays, can emit certain impulses on this color blue, so that it becomes transformed into the color that is needed to respond to certain situations. So there is a state of our aura, there is a color of our aura that is produced by us, that is produced by our attitudes, that is the result of our attitudes. But if this color reaches a certain level of quality, the soul can then send impulses, it can send rays, and the aura then becomes more than this radiation and the states of our personality, mental, emotional, and physical, etheric states. But the aura can also count on impulses coming from the soul, which change the color of the aura and produce the special coloring, that has a unique quality. In other studies, we had already looked at different information about colors, but never in this way. We had looked at the application of colors, the value of colors, and we even talked about the application of lights in some treatments. We even applied colors here in some treatments. Colored cloths, colored lights. We carried out several experiments here. But now we are looking at this topic of colors, and we are putting the use of colors in our health practice in such a way that we are the ones who produce our own colors by working on our aura, on our radiation, and our emanations, so that we don't have to apply colors on anyone. All we have to do is to go near someone, and the person already receives an application of colors. The person already receives the benefit of a treatment with colors, and no one is talking about colors, no one is mentioning colors. There are no colors at all in the treatment room, and this is all something very real, that is, within people's own bodies, within people's emanations, their radiation. So this is what we are attempting to develop now, and what we are presenting as a challenge to all of us. So we emphasize the need for conscious training on our part, so that when faced with any life situation, that is, in any situation that arises, our emanations should not change. Our vibrations should be kept up as they are, and not allow ourselves to be invaded by any impulse coming from the outside. And we then have to be really natural, really at ease in situations that could possibly cause us difficulty, that could require or demand certain efforts on our part, and much self-sacrifice, much surrender, acceptance on this path of spiritual fulfillment, no matter what may happen, because we are being worked on many levels, in many ways, but this should not affect our aura, because it is with our aura that we work here on the physical level. It is with the emanation of our bodies that we reach others. So the healthier is this aura, the tidier is this aura, or the more vitalized is this aura, through all our attitudes, our manner of being, the more is our aura filled with well-being, the more available this aura becomes, the more it radiates, the farther it reaches, because our aura can reach a certain space, some meters, but some auras can cover kilometers. Some auras can reach immense spaces. You have probably read about the experience of some people who went to meet holy persons or who went to meet great healers, and many kilometers before they reached the place, they already felt the person's aura. They were already inside the person's aura. And that aura is not simply this physical etheric part that we are describing. Over time, an individual's soul also develops this power. And so before you enter someone's etheric aura, before you enter an individual's etheric aura, you already enter the person's more subtle radiation. And this happens at a much greater distance. So we can actually work at a distance if our aura, if this energy mechanism of our bodies is united to the radiation of our soul, if it is united to these forces that our soul also radiates. Now the soul only begins to radiate on these levels, or very close to these levels, when the aura of the bodies begins to be a vehicle for this. The aura of the bodies reaches only so far, and if service requires it, if the work of the soul extends farther, then the soul can bring in its own aura. It can bring in its own emanations there. And the other person will receive it on the etheric level, not on our etheric level, but this is projected onto the planetary etheric level and is guided by the soul of the individual who is working. This is also a learning process for us, and we can recognize if we are on a good track in this regard. We can notice it, because if we go near a person, that person already begins to feel good, without our doing anything at all. You can arrive somewhere, and the people there are all tense. You don't do anything, you are simply there, and things begin to calm down, the people there begin to change their situation. You enter a heavy environment, you enter an environment that is in psychic disorder, and just by your going in there, the environment begins to change, and this is the work of the aura of the person who arrived there. And to this is added, as was mentioned, the work of the individual soul, which produces even deeper effects. So the aim of this work with colors at this stage is not to passively receive colors, colored lights, colored cloths. This is all very important, very useful. To paint the walls in colors that help, this is all very important, very real. But this is not enough. We ourselves have to become transformed into an instrument for the colors to work with. We are the radiation of colors in our aura. Our radiation, our energy is colored. What we emanate is colored. So instead of our being concerned about painting walls and applying colored cloths and lights, we have to become this mechanism. We have to become this instrument so that wherever we go, we apply the color that is necessary there. Of course, all this is invisible, all this is not concrete, not visible here, except at certain moments when something can be perceived on the etheric level. But this self-denial, this giving up everything that we manage to learn and grasp from the path, this is our dedication to all this work within the sphere of service. This is what changes the color of our aura, that cleanses and makes the aura more subtle and transforms it into a truly healing vehicle. Now, that detail about our always being aware, perceiving everything, grasping everything, and at the same time keeping our own thoughts pure, keeping our own thoughts refined, keeping our own thoughts light, not transmitting heavy forms, not emitting crude human ideas, but having elevated thoughts. Elevated thoughts mean that one's mind is emitting gentle vibrations, is emitting very pure waves, very delicate waves. This is the meaning of elevated thoughts. It is what you are thinking that is going to produce this. It's going to produce something that your mind emits like a wave, and all this forms an aura. It forms the color of the aura. And we don't have to see the colors, but we see our own state by what we cause in others, by what happens in others when we go near them, what happens to the environment when we go in there. What happens to a situation when you begin to deal with it, when you begin to work on that situation? It is then that you perceive what your aura is emanating, that you perceive what is really happening with this external part of your bodies, with this energy circle that is formed around you. This is much simpler and much more effective because we don't have to be concerned about the actual colors. Because if we begin to look for a color to treat someone, the material color we apply there is not the same thing on the subtle levels. So you can imagine, for instance, or you can suppose, that someone needs the color blue, that someone needs a bluish color to resolve something in his or her bodies. And you perceive this intuitively. But if you apply the physical color blue there, the physical blue is not the same as the subtle blue. It is not the blue of the inner levels. It is not the blue that your aura emanates. Your aura projects a different quality of blue, and I don't even know if it is this blue that you see here. So these projections of artificial colors produce a certain result. They do bring some result, but it's not the same as if you yourself were the color, if the color were the one you are radiating, because there is a lot of wisdom on the part of the person involved, and there is also a lot of wisdom in the configuration of this etheric body, our etheric body, together with the etheric body of the other person who is in need, having that perception. Our etheric body also changes the tone of what is being radiated. Our etheric body, together with the other body, adjusts that color. So when we apply the color very naturally, very unconsciously, that application is much more effective. It is not an approximate color as it would be if you were to project a material color there. I repeat, this can produce results, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same power.
Ontem nós estávamos falando a respeito do trabalho da alma.
Yesterday we were talking about the work of the soul and the work of the monad, and today someone is raising a question in this regard. Because yesterday it was stated that our will would have to be united to the will of the hierarchy, that we should be working in unity with the hierarchy. The hierarchy, as we know, are those consciousnesses that have already transcended material evolution. They have already become integrated into a more encompassing service. And the evolution of these consciousnesses is no longer a material evolution. These hierarchical consciousnesses, these consciousnesses that function on non-material levels, take on the evolutionary work that is needed at a certain time, at a certain period, at a certain stage of life, because these hierarchies work with higher laws. They do not function only with the laws of the earth. Since the hierarchies function through higher laws, their field of action is much vaster. And for us to have a field of work that is beyond this human work, we have to be united with the hierarchy. We have to cooperate with the hierarchy, because then our force, our energy, our service is channeled along the ways used by the hierarchies to resolve greater problems. So we would have to decide consciously if we want to or not cooperate with this greater work. We would have to be aware if this is or is not our way at this time. then we would really have to offer ourselves up to the hierarchy, so that at some time, and if necessary, and if it is also timely for our evolution, for us to be brought into this hierarchical work. So we must be aware of the fact that this work exists, and the hierarchies need incarnated monads like us to be channels, so that this work does not remain only there on the level of the hierarchies, but that this work may come down here, that this work may flow through us as channels, and that this work may begin to happen here on these material levels. And here we have to learn how to coordinate our actions. To coordinate our actions is nothing that we normally think it is. To coordinate our actions spiritually means for you to unite your free will, to unite your capacity to choose, to the aim of the work being done by the hierarchy. So you coordinate your actions. You have a coordinated action when your free will, that part of you that makes choices, that part that decides, is unified with the hierarchy, unified with that movement that the hierarchy represents. Then you are coordinating your action. Our action is not coordinated in our bodies. Our action is coordinated with the higher levels. When your free will, when your capacity to exercise free will is in attunement with what the hierarchy are doing, you don't have to adapt yourself. You don't have to make any sacrifices for this. Your free will is attuned to this. Then your action becomes coordinated. Then your action is important. It can become a vehicle of the hierarchy. The hierarchy can work through your monad, through your soul, and of course, through your vehicles also, because your action became coordinated. The fact that our free will becomes coordinated with this does not indicate that we have any lack of freedom. This has nothing to do with our concept of freedom, in the same way that it has nothing to do with our concept of coordinated action. This begins to flow in such a way that when you do something as a channel for another force, you are totally free. And your intentions, your conscience, your willingness coincide exactly with that. There was no effort, there was no aggression. It all coincides. This is a coordinated action which we should achieve in order to be really useful. So at this point, the monad begins to flow. And the monad begins to work for the good of humanity. At this stage, when the monad already finds in us, in our soul, in our mind, in our astral and physical etheric bodies, when it finds there this channel through which it can flow, when it finds this channel through which it can work, through which it can serve, can heal, that is when the monad begins to form its body of light. That is when the formation and the maturation of the body of light takes place. The body of light is this vehicle we use to serve on the spiritual level, because all this work of our coordination is carried out in order for us to serve from the mental level to the physical level. But for us to serve from the mental level up higher, we need our body of light. And the body of light begins to be formed for this greater work, this higher work, after the coordination has gone into effect and once the service of the monad is flowing on all levels. When the monad begins to create, when the monad begins to strengthen or vitalize this body of light, with this body, we can already begin to work with what we call the work of the vessels. And this is the way, this is the body we have for this work. This is the structure we have to be able to carry out this kind of work that we call the work of the vessels. And of course, we are not going to function as a vessel right away, because a vessel is the product of our consciousness. It is a light formed by our consciousness. It is a vehicle created by our consciousness, which includes our body of light, our monad, and other situations that we don't know on Earth. But we already begin to form this vessel. Our body of light is already a first phase in beginning to form this vessel. What we call vessel, and here I am talking about this from our point of view, and not from the point of view of the extraterrestrial elder brothers who have a different constitution, but those who form their own vessel, who are predestined to work with their vessel, to be the vessel itself. This is where the process begins. It is the body of light that has the material, that has the capability, guided by the monad, by our monad and by the hierarchy, to gradually form this consciousness of light. So we function at first as a soul, then we function as a body of light, and then when all this is very well organized, when all this is very well linked together, when this is all functioning in close unity with the hierarchy, then this vessel begins to be formed, and symbolically, as light, you reach out much farther, and this vessel receives other beings into it. This vessel receives into it others who might be needing treatment, might be needing help, teaching, in order to form their own vessels. But during this process, we as consciousnesses are taken into these vessels. As consciousnesses, we are taken into these experiences. And someone who had a very conscious experience of this kind was inside a certain vessel where she was being taught. And there she found two or three other persons from this group. Now, this situation is only conscious up to a certain point. That is, we can become aware of actually entering a vessel. We can even become aware of other beings who are there inside this light, this consciousness, forming their own body of service, their own vessel. Because the vessel is a body that is unknown to us. It is not the causal body or the body of light. It is the light that is formed by all this, and it is a vehicle. It is a vehicle that, in the case of the extraterrestrial brothers, is a light that can be seen in the sky. And when we form this vessel, we then have a vehicle that has much greater potentiality than our own bodies, because our inner bodies, our subtle bodies, must remain within a certain distance to contact this inner space. But a vessel, even if it is a little vessel, this is already a vehicle, an instrument, that can get in touch with areas of space that our normal bodies, these bodies that are part of our human constitution, would not be able to reach. So this awareness is very important. This work with the hierarchies is very important in this sense. But for this to happen, we should no longer be doing all these things for our own benefit, as we do during a certain stage, when we are doing these things for our good, for our evolution, for our growth, for our formation, and so forth. Here, we are at another stage. Here we are already being used, we are already being included, and our free will is closely unified with this, very interconnected with this, very integrated with this. And we reach the point of forming this tiny body, which we call the vessel, which has a consistency and a capability that are greater than those of our bodies. In our bodies, for example, we cannot embrace a group because each one has his or her own body. Now, in a vessel, in this our consciousness light, we can take in even groups of beings and we can take them and guide them to experiences, to levels of contact of consciousness that for them will bring great progress, great evolution. With this vessel body, with this vessel, one can penetrate areas of inner space that do not even belong to this planet, depending on how compact these vessels are, and depending on the contacts we have with certain hierarchies. This is something that begins in our process. It begins to happen to us when our body of light is activated, because the body of light has a limited scope of action. And the vessel has greater possibilities. And when we look up at the vessels, they appear to be something from another world. But each one of us is capable of building a vessel. Each one is capable of using his or her own vessel, and thus work in a broader way. All this is open to the new humanity. All this is about to happen, or is already happening, or is being prepared. There was a time in which we used to go to Erx or Aurora, and there we had a lot of contact with these lights. Many of these lights were materialized, and they were not extraterrestrial vessels. They were bodies, they were lights that represented the consciousnesses of beings who were already working on those levels. And sometimes they brought into their vessels beings who needed treatment, that is, beings who had to journey to get to know other corners of the cosmos and who could not get there by themselves. Now, this is constructed, this is formed through service. Through service and in all these conditions that we have been studying and pondering.